Hi, I'm Piper.
And I'm Erin.
Welcome to Off the Tracks podcast, where we explore what it means to do law differently.
Today, we are joined by Amy Group as part of our Going Solo series about lawyers who have made the leap and opened their own law firm. Amy is a lawyer and legal consultant. She is the founder of Group Legal Consulting, a company that helps lawyers build more profitable practices. And again, this could also be a series on lawyers who have helped me grow my business and assist me, as Amy was my business coach through the CAN network, which now I'm blanking on what it stands for, but it was through the Law Society. And she helped me, you know, set manageable goals and kind of pushed me along in the first year of my business. So we are so grateful to have Amy on the podcast and to share some wisdom with all of you as well. So we always like to start off our podcast with the same question, which is, how has your career evolved over time? And we know your career has taken lots of iterations.
Hello. Thank you, ladies. I feel like this question could be the whole podcast, so I'll try and keep it short. But before I do, the CAN program is the Coach and Advisor Network through the Law Society. So if anyone's interested, it's a really wonderful program. Oh my goodness, where do I start? So I went to law school, like you ladies, at the University of Windsor. I kind of got all caught up in the whole OCI, get a job in Toronto thing. So that's what I did. I worked on Bay Street as a summer student, articling student, was hired back, and then realized Toronto was a bit too big. So I moved to Ottawa to a national firm and worked in a business law group for about 10 years. And in the beginning, it was super exciting. I was working on all these really big deals in the paper and I loved it. I was working all the time. It was wonderful. And then things changed. I had a family, I had kids, and my priorities really changed. And I couldn't quite figure out how I could keep doing the work I was doing while also trying to be home and support my family. And so I was fortunate because I was able to take some time. I took a leave from work because things were so crazy and so busy. And I had some time to figure out what it was I wanted to do. And so one of the really random things I did was I started an online business, and it was a Canadian gift shop. Essentially, I was curating handmade goods that other people made. I did not make them, and I would sell them through this shop. And so in order to support that business, I went to different networking events and I met a whole bunch of entrepreneurs, and they'd kind of talk about my shop, but then they'd find out I was a lawyer and be so excited and say, oh, can you help me? I have all these legal issues. I have all these questions. And after a while, I finally said, oh yeah, I guess I can help you, because I wasn't practicing at the time. So I started my own solo practice, and then I had a whole bunch of people, I had a whole bunch of other lawyers asking me, how did you start your practice? How do you work virtually? How do you work from home? Because it was before the pandemic. And so then I decided to start a Facebook group for female lawyers where they could go and ask questions and support one another, because I couldn't find anything for myself. And so then it kept evolving. And so people were always asking me about starting their own practices and if I could help them. So then I started my business, Group Legal Consulting. And so I'm no longer a practicing lawyer. I help other lawyers go solo. And I also help them market their practice. I help them with technology. I do a whole bunch of different things in order to help lawyers have a successful practice. So there's a really long, windy answer to your short question.
Wow, Amy. So just to clarify for me, I know Erin knows you and knows your story a bit better than I do, and some of our listeners might. So right now you offer consulting, but when you first opened your own online business, outside of the selling makers products. Were you practicing law as a solo lawyer and running the consulting, and now you've niched down?
So when I owned the gift shop, I was not practicing. I took a break from practicing law. And then I ran the gift shop and I practiced law. And then I practiced law and did the consulting. And now I just do the consulting. So it's like I took little baby steps along the way to get to where I am now.
That's amazing. And are there any services that you're hoping to add to your business, or any new skills that you're hoping to add to your business in 2022?
Yeah, I think the biggest one for me is working with Clio, which is legal practice management software. I am a certified consultant with them. And what I do is I help lawyers to get more use out of Clio, because I've worked with a lot of lawyers who use the software, but they're not using it as well as they could. So I go in and I help them to create workflows and tasks and help to automate things so that they can run their practices more efficiently. So that's really my focus for 2022, is that type of work. I still am working with lawyers who are going solo, but my focus in terms of marketing is the work that I'm doing with Clio right now.
That is so neat. And obviously, you know that I use Clio and love Clio as well. And we will actually be on a panel. Who knows when this episode will air, but we will be on a panel together talking about Clio and going solo. So it's neat to see that you've really expanded in that part of the legal tech area, and be able to sort of specialize in such a neat area of law, because I know even as a Clio user, there are so many features that I'm sure I am underutilizing. And it's always good to have a second set of eyes to see, you know, kind of how you can make it work more efficiently, and to have that outside perspective. So Amy, we know you've had quite the different career trajectory, but is there anything that you would change about your journey on law?
I think if I were to go back and change anything, I probably would have left my job at Big Law earlier than I did. I never thought I was going to go solo. It was never a goal of mine, but I did spend a lot of time in a large law firm being really unhappy. And it had nothing to do with the firm. It was like, it had nothing to do with the people. It just wasn't right for me. And I think I stayed in it too long because I felt a little stuck and I wasn't quite sure what else was out there and what else I could do. And I have found, you know, I did look around at different jobs and different positions, but nothing was really exciting for me. And so when I look back and I reflect, I realize I just built what I wanted to do. There wasn't anything out there that checked off all of my boxes. And I wasn't even sure which boxes I wanted checked off, to be honest. So I was able to create it myself.
That's amazing. And I know that you run and created a Facebook group. And I believe the title is Solo Small Firm Canadian Lady Lawyers. Correct me if I'm wrong. And
that's right.
I know that's a place where it, like, you've built this community. And I was wondering if you could tell us a bit more about how this community came to be and what its goals are today.
So the community came to be when I was very beginning of going solo. I met with a few lawyers I knew who were solo, and I was asking them every question in my head, like, how much does it cost for a law pro? Like, what kind of insurance do I need to get? Do I need an office? Like, what kind of pens do I need? How do I get a printer? Like, I had so many questions and I didn't know where to go for the answers. So some of the people in my network helped me, and I asked them, okay, where do I go with all of these questions afterwards? Because you've been really helpful, but I don't want to be calling you every 20 minutes with my questions. And there wasn't really any resource that they could recommend to me. So I started the group and I invited a few people I knew who were solos. And I said, you know, if you know other people, invite other people. Let's make this really supportive place where we can go to ask questions. And it's really evolved over time And so it's a place where people can go with questions, but people are also going in there and being really vulnerable, especially during COVID. I was holding, I think they were monthly meetings where we would just get together on Zoom and just talk, because people needed more support at that time. And we just needed to see other people and to connect and know that other people were in the same boat. So it's evolved there. And so many really amazing things have happened from that group. There are people in the group who have sold their practice to the purchaser who was in the group. And so I was able to make that connection for them. Obviously, work is being passed around to other people. People in the group have partnered and started their own legal entity. People have hired one another. So there's really great things happening, and it's definitely evolved from what I originally thought it was going to become this really, I think, welcoming, supportive place for female lawyers in Canada.
Yeah, I can attest to that, because I have personally benefited greatly from the Facebook group. And I do remember those early days of the pandemic when I was considering going solo and joined those Zoom monthly calls. And it was just so helpful to hear from a variety of different women about starting their own law firm or transitioning their law firm in the pandemic. And having that sort of support was pretty essential, I think, to being able to go solo. And like Amy said at the beginning, there were lots of videos where I could go back and look at, you know, okay, what kind of software is the pros? I think there was like even one specifically like pros and cons of Cosmo, Lex, and Clio. And you had like two different people from the group talking about what they liked and disliked about each service. And having that was just so essential to being able to go out on my own and be able to kind of carve that path. So I really have appreciated the Facebook group. And I know I've been able to refer clients out through it, and I've received referrals through it. So it's been a really great supportive network. And thank you again, Amy, for creating that space for us.
Oh, you're welcome. One thing I love about the group is that there are lawyers who are brand new calls. There are senior lawyers. There are retired lawyers in the group. There's really a diverse group of lawyers in there, which is really neat to see. And people are so supportive no matter where they're at in their careers, which is really nice.
Yeah. So another question we have for you, and I know that this does come up in the Facebook group from time to time, is how do you separate yourself from your business? And how do you create that boundary when you are your business?
I think I've gotten pretty good at time blocking. And I actually think COVID has really helped, because I have younger kids. So when they've been home and they were doing virtual school, my time's been cut so drastically that I've been able to really focus in and narrow down on, okay, what are the essential one or two things I absolutely have to do today? And so now that things are opening up a little bit, I realized I can get a lot done in a short amount of time if I just really focus. So I'm a big fan of time blocking. So I am the most productive first thing in the morning. So that's where I do all of my client work, my focus work, things where I need to think. And then in the afternoon is when I might do admin, replying to emails, different things like that. I turn off my computer when my little people come home, and then that's it. Like I'm done. I try not to go back on my phone. I try and just take a break. And then weekends, I also don't work on weekends. And I tried to do the same thing when I was practicing as well. So when I was a sole practitioner, I set up my practice so that I was only doing contract work. And in my world, there were no contract emergencies. So no one ever called me. It was like, I need this done by tomorrow. So I always knew what was happening. And I didn't have to worry about those last minute calls. Like, I'm not getting a phone call from someone's in jail or something like that. So I was fortunate in the type of work that I was doing when I was practicing as well.
No, that's so important. And Erin and I are always talking about boundaries and getting better at setting and sticking to ours. So thank you so much for sharing the ways in which you implement them in your personal and professional life. And as you sort of have transitioned from like practicing to consulting, also how those boundaries have changed. And so you've talked a lot about how your career has transitioned more than once from one thing to another. And right now you mainly provide consulting services. And as you have transitioned your career in this way, what are some of the things you really like about your consulting role and the way that you've grown your business?
So I've learned that I love supporting other people. I love helping them out. I love helping them establish goals and then reaching those goals. And so my favorite part is when, so say I've worked with someone for 3 or 4 months and we have this goal and they want to meet this revenue goal, let's say for the upcoming month. And then I love at the end of the month when they send me a note and they say, I can't believe it. I reached that goal. Like I love to hear feedback from people about how we've been able to help them push the needle a little bit and reach a goal that at the time seemed a little unrealistic and a little bit crazy, I like to help people say, you know what? It's not crazy. We can do it. This is how we can establish the steps, and this is how we can do it. Because I think a lot of times lawyers are worried about being perfect and having everything done. And I've learned through my experience that it's so much better to just put yourself out there and push yourself, and also to have accountability. So checking in with someone who's saying like, no, they have your back, and they say, we can support you and you've got this. And it's going to help you move forward.
Amy, thank you so much for talking about that. I think a lot of the time when people hear the word consultant, they don't necessarily know what that means. And I think the goal setting that you talk about is so crucial to help move people forward in whatever they're working towards. And so what's really interesting for me, I've been thinking a lot recently about consulting and coaching and how those things have impacted my life and my business. I run a consulting coaching business to help people with the bar exams. And sometimes I met with resistance. People come to me in a consult and they say, okay, like they don't really believe in the work that I do, or they don't think it's in their best interest. And that's fine. Obviously in life, like one really important thing I've learned in general is, you know, I'm not for everyone. And that's just how it is in all aspects of life. But what's really interesting is like you, I'm sure I've seen the work that I do, and I know that it helps people break things down into ways where they can set manageable goals, reach them, exceed them. And then we all leave feeling really great. And just this week, I've had 2 consultations with coaches for myself to help with my personal and professional development. And I said to Erin, and I said to another friend of mine, I'm so nervous to bring on these people to help me along in my journey, because it's a large investment of both time and money. And I said to my friends, please just remind me that this is going to be so beneficial. And yes, it is. I could definitely go out and potentially do some of this work on my own, but it would take me like 10 or 30 times longer. And I probably wouldn't have the same accountability and support. And so I think something that's so important is like having people in your corner and having people that cheer you on and maybe show you your blind spots. And I think that like, that's a lot of what you're doing. And it's so important. So I know like from watching Erin open her practice and benefiting from the work that you've done with her and like the community, it's just so beneficial. And I know that the work you do is so important, but I bet that you've impacted even more people than you realize.
Oh, that's so nice to hear. I never thought I'd be doing work like this, but it's very fulfilling for sure. And I agree. I'm not for everyone, and I'm not putting myself out there to work with everyone. And I try and differentiate myself. I don't think of myself as a coach. I think of myself as a consultant because I have run my own solo practice. I'm a lawyer. And so when I work with people, and Aaron can probably attest to this, I will say, I think you should do this. Like if someone came to me and said, should I be marketing on LinkedIn or Facebook? We'll look at it. And I will say, let's do LinkedIn. Whereas a coach is asking questions that involve more reflection, that the person can come up with those answers. And so it's two very different approaches. That's the way that I work with people. And so I definitely have calls with potential clients, and we figure out it's not a fit, which is totally fine, because there are more than enough people out there that are a fit. So it's just a matter of connecting with the right ones.
Yes. I was also going to add that I think one of the biggest takeaways, well, there were many, but one of the biggest takeaways from working with Amy, and it's now sort of like a soundtrack in the back of my head anytime someone asks me to do something, is, does this get me in front of my ideal client? And I feel like that's just been drilled into my head, because that's something that Amy really worked with me to remind me of, is, are the steps that you're taking, are the things that you're putting your energy into going to bring you more of what you want to be doing? Because otherwise, it's not going to generate the sort of results that you want to do. And one thing I really love, Amy, is, and I know you've shared about this, I think on LinkedIn maybe before, I can't remember where you had shared this, but you had set some goals for yourself for each quarter. And I just loved like hearing how you celebrate those. Like I remember one time you had post, I don't know why this is so stuck in my memory, is you had posted that you were going out for oysters. And I just loved that. You were like, I made my quarterly goal early and I'm going out for oysters with my husband. And I just loved that. So can you just tell us a bit more about how you've set these kind of fun goals for yourself and how you help others sort of find the joy in reaching their goals too?
Yeah, sure. First, I love that I'm in your head, Aaron. You can just hear me saying things to you.
Yeah, just living rent-free in my head.
The idea of the goals came from a couple of different sources. So Mike Michalowicz's book, Profit First, where he talks about putting a small percentage aside. And I forget if it's every quarter or when it is you do it, but you use the money on yourself, because the whole point of being in business is to like enjoy what you're doing. So you don't put it back into your business. You don't use it to buy some new technology. You use the money to celebrate what you've done that month. And it also came from another entrepreneur I know. She owns a web design company. And so every time she reaches her financial goals, she buys a new pair of shoes. And so I thought, oh, this is like a great way to do something really fun, to motivate me, and to have something tangible at the end of the day. Although most of my things involve food. So yes, oysters was one. We got oysters from our favorite place, and it was just this really fun night. But it can be something big, it can be something small, but it's always something that I have that I'm working towards, that I can use as my goal and just to celebrate and just to have fun. Because the whole point of like running your own business is hard, and there are ups and downs and highs and lows. And so we need to enjoy it. And so that's a way that I've been able to find to enjoy it and establish goals that are I can achieve, and then I can celebrate them when I do achieve them.
This is exactly what I needed to hear. And I told myself that I would buy myself new glasses when I passed the bar exams. Well, I passed the bar exams in April 2020, and it is now, we are recording at the middle of January 2022. I have yet to fulfill said reward, not for any reason other than the fact that I just I'm like always like, it's really hard to buy things for yourself sometimes. And it's hard to like set that money aside and not feel guilty about it, at least in my experience. I bought myself a new book today, so it should arrive in the mail sometime next week. So maybe that's my reward and instead in lieu of the glasses. But anyways, Amy, this is a very good reminder and I'm definitely going to go back and listen to it and be like, okay, Amy said to set manageable goals and enjoy yourself. That's the whole point. And speaking of enjoying yourself, Amy, I was wondering if you could tell us just what's your favorite part of your daily life?
Oh my goodness. I would say I love getting up early in the morning, and every morning I do a workout. I joined this online fitness program when COVID first started, and I do it every day, and it's usually the same people, and we do, it's like boot camp style workout. I just love it. I love sweating. I love knowing that everyone else is still asleep in my house. And when I'm done, I'll have finished my workout and I can just go have a shower. So it's just time to myself. I often, I'm not a meditator, but I just kind of like sit and think. So it's just quiet time. So my house is usually very, very chaotic. So just to have my own little quiet room, is a really big treat for me.
That's so funny. I always joke that I need to work out within about like 7 to 10 minutes of my feet hitting the floor in the morning. And if I don't, it's not going to happen. So I'm going to need to learn more about this bootcamp. I currently have, this is so embarrassing, I have like more virtual workout platform subscriptions than one person should have. I think I currently have 4 and I just sort of like rotate them. Like, what's a live class I really want to do today? It's maybe that's what I treat myself on. That's why I don't have new classes. but Amy, no, I know what you mean. I think not everybody is a morning person. And I know sometimes in life there can be this weird hierarchy in social circles about like, oh, the early bird gets the worm. If you wake up early, that's better than someone that doesn't wake up early. And Erin, I see her laughing right now because Erin would describe herself, I think, as a night person. But Erin sometimes wakes up when we do workouts together.
Yeah, except for we do it in Piper's morning, which is like my mid-morning. And yeah, we're waking up at the same time.
There's a 2-hour time difference, but it's still our both our mornings. But Amy, all of this to say is I think like you, I really appreciate what I like to call like a slow morning. And what I mean by that is like, even if it's not slow, like if you're doing a boot camp and you're getting ready for the day, that time to yourself to just like think and set your brain up for a good day can be like a really powerful tool and really give you like energy that is hard to find elsewhere.
And I think too, it depends on the person, right? Like Erin's not a morning person. So if we were to say like, Erin, you have to get up at 5:30 and like meditate and read 2 books, it's not going to happen. So you kind of have to find your thing. And honestly, when I was in law school, when I was an undergrad, I never got out of bed early. So it changed over time now that I'm this old lady. So it, you know, it works for me now. Who knows what it'll be 3 or 4 years from now.
Yeah. My dad said the same thing happened to him too. Over time, when he was younger, he used to sleep in, like when he was my age, he used to like to sleep in a lot. And now same thing. He's like at doing his yoga by like 6 a.m. every single time. Every single morning. But if I ever become a morning person, I will be truly astonished with myself. I aspire to be that woman that like wakes up and can meditate and read 2 books in the morning, but we'll see if that ever pans out over time. But we have so enjoyed having you on the podcast today, Amy, and we've so enjoyed hearing your perspective. And we like to end each episode with the same question, which is, what is something new you've learned recently?
Okay, so the thing I've learned most recently was this afternoon. My son, who is 9, is learning about Greece in school. And so he came home with a kiwi and informed me that it was grown in Greece. So I don't actually know the accuracy of this, but he claims kiwis are also grown in Greece. So that's what I learned. But if anyone's quoting me, let's not go with the most reliable authority of my 9-year-old son.
So I'm going to name drop the biggest name I've ever dropped on the podcast as my authority to check in with on this new fun fact. A really good friend of mine, her family is the family of my Big Fat Greek Wedding. And what I mean by that is like her mom's sister is Nia Vardalos, who wrote and starred in my Big Fat Greek Wedding about my BFF since high school's Paris's family. And so back in 2017, I was like fortunate enough to be traveling, and I ended up in Greece at the same time as Paris. And I got to go to the small town where her family is from with her. And so, yeah, I will check in on the Kiwi thing, Amy, and I'll let you know. I will go to my resident Greek expert, and I'll report back.
Thank you. That would be so helpful. I actually thought you were going to say that you had Greek grown Kiwi when you were there. So you'll have to let me know.
I will let you know. I didn't have Greek grown Kiwi. That could potentially be because I am slightly allergic to Kiwi, but I'll check in and let you know. Amy, it has been such a joy to meet you and speak with you today. Thank you so much for just sharing your wisdom with us and everyone listening. I, for one, personally have always been a bit of like a LinkedIn fangirl of yours. I think like the content you put out is just so inspiring and always really brightens my day whenever I see it. You have just like the loveliest presence. And so if anyone isn't following Amy on LinkedIn, it's linked in the episode notes and you can go check it out. And you can also learn more about her consulting business. But to stay up to date with the podcast, you can follow us on Instagram at Off the Tracks Podcast, and stay tuned for our next episode coming out next Tuesday.
Bye. Thank you so much.